He is Brian Anderson, BA. You know him and love him as the Pride of Geneva. And, of course, he is the color analyst for the Tampa Bay Rays. But better than that, it was for his days when he was a member of the Cleveland Indians bringing us glory at Old Jacobs Field. Hi, Brian. How are you?
What's up, BA?
I am good, boys. I'm at the gym right now, and I'm actually having to eject myself because it's the gym.
Uh-oh. Wait, you're breaking up just a little bit. You broke up. You're leaving the gym? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, getting out of the gym. It's one of those gyms that they prefer you not be on the phone when you're inside of the facility.
Kind of you to be polite. It's a good polite man right there.
Do they mind if you chug a beer while you're on the treadmill? Is that frowned upon in there too?
Well, it's Boston, so I think that anything kind of goes here, except for talking on the phone within the facility. That's it.
And it's Boston, so you might get punched if you talk about the phone in the facility, too.
Pack your car with the cellular. Get out of there. That's what they're saying, yeah. Brian Anderson.
Yeah.
You didn't play.
Yeah, that was, by the way, that was pretty good right there.
Thank you. Well, if you played for the Sox, then it probably would. Hey, that's Sox. That's Brian Anderson. Are you kidding? He can do whatever he wants. He can be on the phone.
True,
that's what they would
say. Yeah, I agree.
Unless you made a mistake.
Yeah,
and then they're
exactly.
Hey, that's Brian Anderson. The ball went between his legs, and the Yankees beat us. Get him out of here. Let's go beat the out of him. That's what we'll do.
Good save.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right, BA. Listen, I just want to talk to you about the Guardians. It's this weird weekend. It's like limbo weekend. You've got Houston coming in. Odds are the Yankees are going to be the top seed in the American League. You're trying to figure things out. And, oh, by the way, you may play Houston in a week in the first round of the playoffs. Just kind of give me the vibe on what it's like to be a player where you're already in, you're pretty much settled on what's going on, you're kind of waiting to see who you're going to play, and then you've got playoffs next week.
Well, I mean, I think more than anything, it's just about getting your team ready. That's what Stephen Vogt is, I'm sure, and his staff is concentrating on, getting your pitching lined up. If it's kind of set in stone on where you're going to be, who you're going to face, when you're going to play, then, it's just about managing your squad, getting guys the work that they need, guys in the bullpen, make sure that they get a little bit of work, but that they're well-rested by the time that game one rolls around. And as a player, you're just trying to stay sharp. I mean, you're trying to end the regular season on a high note, obviously go into the postseason with a full head of steam. I think everybody that plays the game realizes that it's a tough switch to flip when the playoffs start. You want to be going in with some momentum. You want to be carrying in good vibes and having good at-bats and good innings on the mound as you go into the playoffs. It's not real easy to get into the playoffs and say, okay, let's crank it up now. So you want to go in with a full head of steam, and I'm sure that's what everybody's concentrating on this last weekend.
I don't think you've ever been in this position as a ball player, but if you were, man, what do you do if you're like on the Guardians pitching staff and you got a week off? Like, this pretty much what this is going to end up being is about a week once the season ends before you're playing once again. What are you doing to stay fresh?
Well, listen, that's what this weekend is all about. It's about getting the guys to work because that's hard. And it's really interesting in baseball. Baseball is a repetition sport, and it's something that you have to do day in and day out. That's why guys are out working, taking ground balls. Big leaguers who know how to field a ground ball are still out there taking ground balls every single day because it's a repetition sport, and you want to continue to train your body, train your mind, because when you get out on that field, there's not a whole lot of time to think. It's all about reacting. And so, when you get into these situations, I hate to say that it's almost a bonus to be a wild card team because you're playing right away than to have to sit and wait for, 5 or 6 days. I think that is definitely a disadvantage. And, I don't know how else you do it. Because if you're going to have the wild card and you're going to have a best of three, they have to play first. And even though you play them 3 days in a row, there's an off day, play them 3 days in a row, and then the next series is going to start. That's still the teams that get the byes. You're right. They're going to sit for 5 or 6 days. And that is, in my opinion, that's just far too long in the game of baseball. So you've got to get creative on how you try and stay sharp, and whether that be, inter-squad games, whatever you have to do, because it's not ideal. And the only time that I ever was a part of a team that did that in 2001, and we actually, ended up winning the World Series with Arizona, we knocked out the Braves in 5 games. And I think the Yankee series went maybe to the end. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure, but I know that we had at least 5 days off before we got you know, before we got to be able to play against them. So, you know, and there were intramural games, not intramural, but, you know, inter-squad games that you would do to try to stay sharp. But, yeah, it's not ideal.
All right, B.A., what's the difference between a start in the regular season and a start in the playoffs? And can you simulate any of that during the regular season?
Wait, say that again, a start?
A start in the playoffs compared to a start from a pitcher's perspective.
Well, it's the same. I mean, it's absolutely the same unless you make it out to be something that it's not. I mean, you're going to go through the same routine that you do in the regular season, whether it be the playoffs or not. You know, you have the start time, you have time that you know it takes you to get ready, and you just go out and do it. Now, the only thing that's different is a lot of times between the ears. Don't make it bigger than it is. I mean, while you can acknowledge that it is bigger because it is the playoffs and there's no tomorrow and, you know, a couple of bad games and your season can end, you cannot allow that to seep into your psyche about how you're going to perform. You just have to realize, and that was the wonderful thing that happened with me, with, you know, getting into game one of the ALCS in 1997, you know, getting into that game and the realization, you know, it's a big deal. You know, you're nervous, you know, you get yourself ready and you jog out there on the mound and you get the ball, you rub it up, you're looking for the first sign and you're like, hey, this is baseball. Hey, it's baseball. So let's go compete. That's what it's about, competing. And so that's what I did. And that for me clicked. And it was like, this is, yes, it's bigger. It's a bigger deal. No question about it. But you have to just keep it simplified. And that's why when I told you that story of Tony LaCava all those years before telling me not everybody can play in October, I had no idea what he meant until batting practice of game one of that series. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I get it now. Because it is much bigger, and the stage is bigger, the lights are brighter, and some guys, they do well in that kind of environment, and some guys really can't handle it. So really, it comes down to what's between the ears. Everything else is just a matter of routine.
The best friend of the show, Brian Anderson, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, former Indians pitcher, current Rays color analyst. Always a good time to talk to him. So, B.A., help me out with this one, too. Because we always talk about, and especially in the modern game, the idea of these starters being on such a short leash. Does that enter your head when you're pitching at all on the mound? Or is it just, boy, if that even decides to sink into that you think someone's behind you, you're toast?
Yes, that's exactly right. You cannot think of anything like that. You think, I have a job to do. I have to do it to the best of my ability. And you have to have complete tunnel vision. Complete tunnel vision. When your mind starts to wander and you're thinking about who's in the on-deck circle, you're thinking about who might be warming up, you're thinking about a pitch count, the game's hard enough when you are laser-focused. If your mind starts to wander, you are done. You, it is not going to go well for you. So none of that stuff seeps into your mind at all. You are worried about the next pitch, the next hitter. That's it. I mean, that's the way that you have to keep it. If things start to, you know, if the mind starts to, you know, spread out to other things, you're in a world of hurt.
No way in hell a manager would tell you before they're going to do that, right?
No. And you know what? That's what's funny with my start in game three of the World Series in 01. So, I had no idea, but I found out after the fact that they had put me on a pitch count because I had pitched out of the pen through the playoffs and I had some extended outings, you know, some three inning outings, but not like a full start. So unbeknownst to me, they had put a 75 to 85 pitch limit on me for that start. I ended up going, I think 107, 108. Because I obviously got to my number and I was still being effective and I wasn't losing any of my stuff. So I ended up going like a normal start, 107 pitches or so, I think, in that neighborhood. Anyway, point is, I found that out after the fact. They would never tell you that up front. Never in a million years would they tell you up front. They're just going to tell you, you go as hard and as long as you can. I'll let you know when you're done.
Hmm. The Guardians, I think, are in a unique spot here where I don't know. I mean, you would think Tanner Bibee is the guy they're going to throw out their first game. I keep looking at this rotation going, who do you want to throw game one? And like, if you were a manager and you were trying to set up the rotation, especially with the Guardians rotation, what goes through your mind to say, this is the perfect guy for like, it's easy when you have a clear-cut ace. I don't feel like the Guardians actually have that, like, oh my God, here we go. This is 100%. I think all the starters are pitching well, and they all could give you a start, or maybe perhaps you're in trouble. So I think when you're sitting there and you're the front office and you're the manager on a team, you're trying to figure out what's the perfect way to kind of set up your rotation, or does that not matter with the Guardians because their bullpen's so strong that if they need to pull the ripcord, they can do it pretty quick?
Yes, and they will. And yeah. I think that definitely is something that plays in their favor, especially if they're able to get one of the buys. In speaking with Tom Hamilton when we were in town, he was telling me that the way the schedule is set up for the teams that get the bye in the first round, they have a game, day off, game two, day off.
Correct.
And boy, does that benefit Cleveland and their bullpen, there's no doubt. But to go back to your original question, if you've got three or four guys that are pretty similar and you think, you know, hey, listen, I've got to pick one to be a game one starter, nobody's a real clear ace, it is very simple for me. Who can handle the moment, period. That's it. Who can handle the moment? Game one. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. So who can handle it the best? That's my guy, period.
You think that's a vet or you think that's a rook?
It could be either one. There are rookies that their demeanor and their poise is far beyond being a rookie. There are some veterans that may not be able to handle it. You have to know your players. You have to know what makes them tick. And again, you have to know who can handle the moment. It goes back to what we talked about before, about not everybody can play in October. You got to know what's on the inside, what's between the ears, what's in the chest, and intestinal fortitude. Mm. And really, that's what it comes down to. And if it's a rookie, so be it, because there are rookies that are very advanced in their poise, for sure.
B.A., who do you like? I mean, the Dodgers are easy, I think, on the National League side, but as we found out last year, it doesn't – like, you get to the playoffs, it doesn't matter how many wins you had during the regular season.
That's it, in a nutshell. I really don't have a favorite yet. I think Houston is always dangerous because they came charging. They were 7-19 and 10 games out. They were 10 games behind the Mariners in June. and they come all the way back and win that division going away. They're always dangerous because they have the pedigree, the cachet. These guys have been there and done that. However, having obviously played all of the teams and been around the league for the last 6 months. And we've talked about this before too. You keep hearing about this team. They're playing so well. They've won 9 out of 10, boom, ba, boom, ba, boom. And then you sit down and you watch a 3-game series with the Rays playing them. And you're like, okay, that's a decent team. That's not a world beating team, but, and I feel that that's true of everybody. So to your point, yes, just get in. The Arizona Diamondbacks showed you that last year. They were 84-78. They just got in and ran that all the way to the World Series. So, you know, I really think that it's that wide open. I think that even the really good teams, Dodgers, Astros, you know, Yankees, Cleveland, they all have flaws. They all have a potential fatal flaw. So it's just going to be who's able to put it all together and who's able to get really, really hot and maybe get some breaks along the way.
Brian Anderson joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. The Oakland Coliseum final home game last night. The A's are picking up and heading to Sacramento for the time being until they get a stadium built in Vegas. What do you think of the A's leaving Oakland, man?
It's sad. That whole situation was just so mismanaged from top to bottom. It's just sad. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. I mean, you think about Oakland. They had, you know, the Golden State Warriors in the arena that's right next to the Coliseum. They fled to San Francisco. You know, the Raiders obviously have run off to Vegas. The A's are running off to Vegas. It doesn't say too much, for the politics of Oakland. It's hard to get anything to move there. And I think that owner, I'm not sure of the entire story. I know that people are not real thrilled with him out there. But at the same time, to get anything built in California, period. I mean, you have an ant mound that you might not be able to move because, you know, so the restrictions out there are ridiculous. And I don't think that he wanted to mess around with it. And so he ends up moving. But it kills the fan base out there in Oakland because it's a rabid fan base. You know, when they come out and fill that stadium up, they are as rowdy of a group that you're ever going to find. I think we all saw that with the Oakland Raiders. I mean, that, you know, whatever they call the black hole or whatever it is.
Yeah.
When the Raiders played out there. So it's a hearty bunch of fans, but it just, it's unfortunate how that all turned out. And I'll tell you, the other interesting thing too is, you know, you've heard, or we've heard, you know, baseball is going to expand in a few years. And you know that Las Vegas is like a primo spot where Major League Baseball would probably prefer to have that be an expansion team where the expansion fees would be through the roof rather than an existing team to move there. You know what I mean? You know that their gold standard cities would be Vegas and Nashville, and the money that you could get from those two cities, and not one of them is taken completely out of the mix with them moving there. So it's I'll be interested to see if that does end up happening. What ends up happening with that? But it's going to be weird playing them in a minor league stadium. And by the way, that minor league stadium, that's going to be in use for the entire summer.
Right.
It's going to be Oakland's going to be at home, and when Oakland goes on the road, the Triple A team is going to play there. So the upkeep on this field, I don't know how you do it. I mean, it's going to be it'll be interesting to see how it all unfolds.
All right, BA, we got to roll. Have a good weekend. Please stay safe, and everybody back down towards Tampa with just the bad weather going on down there. So please be safe, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
Take it easy, dude.
Yes. Yeah, all right, boys. Take care.
Talk to you later. He is Brian Anderson, super friend of the show. We have him on every week. Let's come back. We'll talk a little bit about what he had to say. Also get back into the Browns. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.